You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 160 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and Ride TV. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we're chatting with Tim and Tanner from Next Gen Thoroughbred Podcast to learn about their show and get some new perspective on the racing world. I pick an adoptable horse for Kristen, and we give our tips for when someone else has to manage your horses. Stay tuned.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Kristen, I am somewhat sad because this is my last episode for a while.
He's like, you better say it real quick or people are going to be like, oh my God, Jay's leaving. But you are not leaving. You are just
I'm coming back, but
taking a little break.
I'll be taking a little break, raising little gremlins. So
I'm very excited for their appearance into the world.
Yes, I physically am very excited for their appearance in the world. I have done. I've been done for a minute. I'm still very active, like physically. Honestly, I really shouldn't be complaining. I know a lot of women who have gone through a lot worse than me. I'm still able to like wrestle my puppy and go for walks and all the things.
It is remarkable to like, you know, like obviously we're not in the same town, we're not in the same state, but like watching you from a distance, I'm like, good Lord, Joy, like you are doing as much or more than I do in a day still while carrying twins at months like eight.
I'm probably a little bit mentally unstable and definitely neurotic.
Fair. Yeah. Horse girl.
I'm a chestnut mare at heart and it's fine. But I mean, they've been honestly very happy babies to carry. I've been very fortunate, but I am bored with pregnancy.
And, ready for something else.
I need something else. That is my ADHD really coming out of. This has been fun, but I feel like I've been pregnant for 85 years and I need something else.
Okay. Well, good news. You're going to have a lot more going on very soon.
So pictures to come. And for those who don't know, Kristen was very sweet and knitted baby blankets for the twins. So they are washed and ready for their nursery. So I'm super excited to like get photos of them with those as well. And their little Highland cows, you got them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The cows. We got those at Equine Affair.
We did. I have them.
When they're ready, I'll get them some real cows.
Oh, they'll love it. At least me and Beth will love it, even if they don't. I know exactly where I'm going to put them.
In the backyard, right? With Zach's mini pony.
Oh, my gosh. He's not allowed to have a mini pony. He probably forgot about that mini pony after this puppy, to be fully honest.
Oh, that's probably just for the best, actually.
Yes, she is. I think she's wonderful. He is learning why most people don't get puppies all the time.
Well, that's just the experience he wanted, right? So he's getting what he signed up for. So
I tried to tell him and he asked for this, but you know what? Luckily, she is quite lovely for a puppy, as much of a terror as she can be.
Yeah, she's a puppy. That's just in the job description. Yes. Everyone's like, they're so cute. I'm like, Mia, you really forget how quick those things are terrorists.
That's how it works. Like, honestly, until they're about two or three, you're just like, why did I do this? And you're crying every day.
I mean, I texted you before we started this episode. Lark is what, five? And I was like, hey, going to be a minute late.
She's because
yeah, Lark is never. Yeah. Lark, the poodle pointer, figured out that if she rips the siding off the house, she can get the chipmunks that I didn't know are living in it. So that was fun on multiple levels at like 5:45, right before we started recording. But
you definitely win dog shenanigans today.
I put the house back together and I disposed of the chipmunk.
Mine just learned that if she pees in her pool, she doesn't have to get out of it.
That was the funniest message that you have ever sent, where you were like, well, I just
a new thing that she's doing in general, because she's so excited about her pool that she just pees inside of it.
Oh, and
continues to swim because she doesn't want to leave it. And she guards the house. by sitting in her pool.
Okay. Well, have fun with that, because that's going to be worse with babies, I think. So
it's right along. Like, honestly, they can all sit in their piss water together. It's fine.
Let's put all three of them in there. Yeah, it'll be great.
They'll have great immunity.
Follow Retired Racehorse Radio for more parenting tips. Yeah. Is clearly the message that we're trying to get across here. So
no one's going to want parenting tips from me, I promise.
But yeah, I mean, I am excited for you guys, for the growing family. We will miss you. We will reveal our guest co-host in our next episode. So stay tuned, hands. Folks. Yeah, we're going to have a good time, but we will hopefully return it with a full tank when we're done running the show.
I'll be back in time for the holidays. So
perfect. The perfect Christmas present.
Yes. Oh, what's in your world besides Lark eating your house?
Yeah, I mean, that was exciting, but let's see. The other night, the three of us, it's the three of us, because my mom's, you know, riding almost every day with us. So we went on a nice long trot into the sunset, and I was like, man, we are feeling so cowboy. This is great. You know what? Let's just go ahead and go for a nice big canter up this big hill, you know, and Jobber was feeling pretty fresh for Jobber. So, which is fresh for any horse, because Jobber's kind of a maniac. And, you know, so he was picking up speed, and I was like, this is going great. We're having so much fun. And then he is prone to sort of shying and spooking at this hedgerow. And he kind of did a hard dive to the left. And I was like, what are you looking at? And then staring back at me from the hedgerow is a heifer cow that's supposed to be on our other farm property, which, like, by the road is a few miles away, but as the crow flies is a bit of a jaunt through the woods. So she and three of her friends just broke out of the other farm and went on that jaunt through the woods and showed up back at the old farm. And we're like, hey, like, from the wrong side of the fence. So I was like, okay, everybody hold up. We got to, you know, fix this problem. So that launched the next 2 hours of, like, total chaos. So
I feel like you could write an entire children's book series on farm antics.
Yeah, it's got to be heavily censored, because there's a lot of words being shouted that shouldn't be in a children's book. But
I'm sure you could change things so it's appropriate.
Oh, shoot. Darn. What the heck? Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. So, you know, they were on the wrong side of a fairly stout fence. And, you know, so I called my sister-in-law. I actually FaceTimed her, because I thought that'd be way funnier. She did not see the humor in this, because I was like, look at your cows. And she was like, oh. I was like, look, she's smiling at you. She was like, no, she's not. So there was a gate at the top of the hill, which we never use. It's just there to give access to the gas well people who go through to check on a gas line. So the animals don't know that there's a gate there. So cows are just notoriously kind of dumb about gates. If they, like, don't know that a gate exists, it can be wide open, and they'll be like, that's a fence. And you're like, no, that's an open gate. And they're like, nope, fence. And then, they'll be like, look at this fence, I can walk through it. So the cows just don't make any logical sense at all. So to try to, like, lure them towards this gate, we ended up using the rest of the herd as bait. So we turned around, rode back down the hill, gathered up our herd, pushed them up the hill, kind of picked up these heifers on the other side of the fence, and then, like, the concept was like, oh, we'll just fling open the gate and just mash the happy family together. And we, like, flung open the gate, and the heifers were like, okay, fence. And we're like, no, there's a gate. So at some point, mom was sitting on Wes and holding the two thoroughbreds, like, watching the sunset, while Eric and I rode or stomped around in the forest, like, still with our helmets on. So we looked really funny, just crashing around, trying to round these heifers up. So after about 2 hours, we did it. So that was fun.
It would be a very cute children's book.
Yeah, some heavy censorship. So all's well that ends well, but, you know, it's like no summer goes by without some mass breakout of some sort. And that's fairly on par. I don't think I've met a cattle farmer that doesn't have some sort of incident at some point with animals escaping. So it happened on the ranch where I worked, only to a much grander scale.
Constantly getting out. And then me being the preteen who, while I didn't grow up in a latchkey home, my parents were essential workers. So there was a lot of times I was by myself, responsible for like 15 horses, the dogs, the cats, and then watching my neighbor's cows get loose onto our fields on a regular basis.
Yep.
It was very a good normal time trying to help round them up. And I'm like, I just want to go to a party.
Yeah. And then you understand, like, this is why people eat beef.
Yes.
Apologies to the vegetarians who listen to the show and are like, no, but like, yeah, there's a reason those things are domesticated meat animals, and that is what it is. But yeah, anyway, so we had it was one of those type two fun evenings where you're like, that was kind of a pain, but it was a good time. So,
hey.
Yeah, it's always fun when we get to use our horses and then actually like do some ranch work with them. So
they probably loved it, honestly, to have some action.
Oh, they did. Jobber just goes through just biting calves aplenty, and Wes goes through like a bowling ball, and Shorty is happy if the other two are happy. So yeah, we had a grand time. Beautiful weather, lovely evening.
And you got to do with your mom memories.
Yeah, so exactly.
Cute. So cute.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be a fun episode, a little different than our normal structure. I know we don't have new vocations this time, but I am picking a horse for you, which I think it's always fun when we go into these to see how well we know each other's types. Because sometimes I do when I mix it up. I almost picked a mare for you today, but...
Ooh, I know, it's like a blind date. It's fun.
A little bit, yeah. It's a little bit of that type of feel. So I'll be picking the horse, and then I know we're both going to be... Well, I'm going on mat leave, so I will not be at the barn very often. And you are going to be traveling soon. So giving our tips and tricks on how we equip others to take care of the lovely items that we call horses. And ensure they don't die. So more to come. But before we get into all that, we are going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products. Has your horse been diagnosed with a neurological or muscular disorder? Is he showing signs of muscle wasting and impaired balance or coordination? Studies show that supplemented water-soluble natural vitamin E can reach a horse's brain and spinal cord through the blood-brain barrier, where it can benefit horses with neurological issues. If your horse has any of these problems, Elevate WS, a natural vitamin liquid, can help. A research-proven, powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune function. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in the horse's tissue. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Well, Joy, I'm really always excited when we can do a collaborative episode and, you know, get together with another show and figure out what other people are doing in this space, especially we can get into other people in the thoroughbred industry. So we're really excited to have with us today Next Gen Thoroughbred. So we have Tanner Reisman with us. So Tanner, welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Thank you guys for having me. And before I really get into it, I do just want to give a fair warning to the viewers. My co-host Tim is currently at the Keeneland September sales, grinding it out, you know, in the heart of the industry. And I was there earlier today, but you know, sometimes it just happens like that, and you got to stay and do the extra mile. And he's currently doing that, but he may hop on. So hopefully we hear from him, and if we don't, hopefully I can do my best and give the viewers what they want, and we'll see how it goes.
I love it. I think you're going to be great. But yeah, shout out to Tim for doing the work and doing the thing. Yeah, I know. I'm like sitting here in my cushy like equestrian home, and I'm like, oh, great. Like, my husband fed the horses today, so I'm done. So, but yeah, that's the life.
Kristen, you know, your big mission's coming up very soon.
This is true. Yeah, I'm about to be working a 23-hour day at the Thoroughbred Makeover in a month, so it's all good.
Oh, gosh.
So, Tanner, I know, you know, this conversation might also be on your show too, so your listeners are going to be like, yeah, we already know this, but tell us a little bit about Next Gen and, you know, your mission and your show, and then, you know, we'll do the same thing and tell you a little bit about ours.
Yeah I guess I'll start right from the beginning. You know, it's the middle of April, and me and Tim are at Keeneland, and we got invited by our farm manager, Bradley Purcell, at Claiborne Farm. You know, that's where me and Tim do most of our full time working. And you know, he's like, do you want to go to this Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers meeting? And we're like, yeah, sign us up, you know, whatever. Hopefully something good comes out of it. Jason Worth, John Stewart, and Brooke Smith were speaking there. And, you know, that's that incentive right there to see go see those three guys speak, right? And yeah, talk about lineup. The industry is all-star lineup, you know, is just you know, what bad could come out of it? You know, you're going to pull something good out of it, you know, regardless of whether you agree with some of the things that they say or don't, or how they portray themselves or whatnot. But, yeah, it started like that. And, actually one of our good friends now, Christon Jackson, who's the, TaylorMade sales liaison. And I know he's, you know, he's doing his hard work over there, and shout out to him. He asked a question towards the end of the meeting. You know, they opened it up for questions, and he asked, you know, what can we do to, you know, get this next generation involved in the industry and really, you know, shine the light on how hard these young people are working and, you know, what they're doing. And, you know, eventually, they're going to be at the doorstep of what the current generation is doing. And, you know, how can we get inside? And I don't necessarily know if any of those three had a straight answer, because I don't know if there still is a straight answer. So that's quite literally where this podcast came from. Me and Tim walked out of that meeting and we're like, we gotta get an answer to that question. And how are we going to do that? And it was probably a month or two of planning and just trying to come up with ideas. And we're like, why don't we start like a podcast? You know, like, we work hands-on in the industry. We understand how, you know, these racehorses work, operate, feel, you know, the whole nine yards, you know. And, you know, we enjoy the races and we enjoy seeing how much work and effort that every single person puts in to get that horse to the track. And, you know, if it doesn't end up on the track, you know, what can we do to support and benefit, you know, aftercare programs and stuff like that. So, again, like that was, you know, the basis of it. And the idea was the podcast. And, you know, throughout the last six and a half months, you know, it's developed into something that, you know, we had no idea where we would be at, you know, at this point. You know, we were just like, let's do something that people can listen to, you know, get a weekly inside voice on what's going on in the industry and how we can help to, you know, portray the next generation and see where it goes from there. And we've been fortunate enough over the past 4.5 months ish to be able to go to big races and cover big races and see things like that and shine the light on, you know, what's really going on and how much these horses are cared for and how many people that one horse employs. You know, there's this whole chart. I'm sure you guys have seen it, but it's the horse. And it's a huge spider web of like 100 people, you know, right. Owners, trainers, jockeys, assistant trainers, grooms, staff, you know, foaling managers, people who are in the foaling barn that were giving birth to the horse, you know, and how hard everybody works on the industry to get that, you know, like I said, to get that horse to the track and you know, be able to shine the light on the inside, because that's not what people see. You know, people think horse racing, they think Belmont Preakness Derby.
Right. Yeah. Big camps and mint juleps and lots of money. And yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And our mission and goal is to portray that there is so much more that goes on. You know, it is a whole lifestyle. You know, it is our lifestyle. And I think it's like 1.5% of the whole entire population of the United States of America works in agriculture. Now take that 1.5%. What percent of that is horse racing? You know, it is so small and it's so niche, but it's so good. And there's so much that, you know, entails in the industry in just, you know, the spider web of people in stories and things that you hear. It's like, you know, I'm rambling right now, but that's all I can do is just talk. You can talk about it forever and ever and ever, you know, and that, you know, that's our goal, shine the light and bridge the gap between this older generation and this younger generation that sees this industry as, you know, something hard to get into, something that you got to be rich for, you got to have a lot of money, you got to be born into it, you know. And I do believe that, you know, with this podcast and in interviewing all these different people and, you know, where they're coming from, the stories that they have, if they have money or not, if they're born into it or not, like you start to see patterns between even trainers versus owners, or jockeys versus grooms. And I think that's a really cool part of what we get to do is, you know, shine that again, you know, shine that light on different aspects of the industry, put it out to the mainstream media, and hopefully people take away something amazing and awesome from it, and they want to learn more and they want to get involved and they reach out. And then, you know, you get them connected with who they want to be connected with. And I think that's a great part of what we get to do again.
And yeah, make it accessible. Yeah.
And people, again, it's that stigma that it's not accessible to the everyday human being. Like, I mean, I even hear it at the track, you know, I go to the track and someone's like, dude, like, I would love to own a racehorse one day. Like, how do I even go about doing that? And I'm like, there it is, you know, like that's what we need to erase, you know, got to get rid of that. You know, gotta crush that stigma that it's a hard sport to get into. And yes, well, I
was going to say, what I love about what you're saying is that it's all the same thing on the equestrian side too, you know? So like, yes. Joy and I are coming more from, we're retired Racehorse Radio. So we do tend to come more from like hobby riders, recreational riders, and, right. You know, some level of competitive riders as well, who happen to be riding thoroughbreds or standardbreds or quarter horses, yep. Or any of the other racing breeds. But it's that same, you're kind of fighting those same stereotypes of like, oh, that's not accessible to me. And it's like, actually, so the equestrian industry and the racing industry, we're all kind of like fighting the same fight. And I hate to call it a fight, you know, because it's not, but we're sort of up against the same challenges of like, oh, you have to be rich to be in this. And it's like, well, no, I'd be rich if I weren't in this, because I spend so much money keeping these things alive, you know? But yeah, it's like, we're actually like, and you know, you mentioned the phrase bridging the gap, and that's a lot of, I think, what we do in the aftercare space is helping to like show equestrians that like, hey, the racing industry is also on your side. Like, we're all here because we like horses, and to the racing industry, the equestrian industry is here to help you. Like, we're going to take these horses and ensure they have a good rest of their life, you know? So I think, this is where it's fun to put our two shows together, because I think we actually have really similar missions, even if it's just slightly different audiences.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And lately we've been doing a lot of work with Stable Recovery, who's just recently sponsored us. I could go on and on about the great work that they do, but I was at, you know, we did an interview with their CEO, Christian Counselor, and I was thinking, I was like, you know, how am I going to relate a drug addiction horse program to the next gen mission? And you know, it took me some thinking and just, you know, just sitting back and looking at it for a couple of days. And I then like connected the dots, like regardless of how old, you know, these people are, although our podcast is aimed at the next generation of, younger fans and younger workers, you know, it doesn't matter what the age you are, you can come in this industry at any time. You know, you see John Stewart, Resolute Racing, look at him, you know, he's I don't know how old, 50s, you know, mid 50s, and he just started, but he is, you know, he's pushing towards what is that next generation. And how is it so compelling to bring people in and get people involved? And, you know, again, like you just said it, the crossover between, you know, the sport horses and the thoroughbred racing, like there is that gap. But, you know, bringing in those new people and people that want to see change and innovation and, you know, keeping up with the time and still respecting the history of the industries themselves, I think that's gonna take things a long way.
Yeah. Well, and it, I mean, it's a lot to go up against. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, Joy loves horse racing. I love horse racing. Like, we go to the races, we have a good time. Like, then we also go home and ride our thoroughbreds. And trying to think of like just how to get more people to realize how cool this is with all the noise that's already out there in the world. Like, there's just so many things going on. Like,
yeah.
Like, how do you, you know, like, okay, let me back this up. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges that's going to threaten the survival of the racing industry from your perspective as a fellow young person?
What I think is going to threaten it is the stubbornness of the oldest generation. And I, some people might shame me for this, but this is what I think. And not that I don't respect the, you know, the generation that's all in it now, that's been around for the last 100 years, you know, these sports in the horse industries, you know, wouldn't be what they are without them. But at some point you're going to have to let, you know, the young guns in the next generation get involved, and you know, because you know, if the old people go away and they're too stubborn to let the next generation get involved, where that gap is now a reality and a sport dies.
Right. Yeah. It's been interesting to like look at the sort of the reception of like the Griffin Johnson phenomenon, I think is like really interesting to look at, because
exactly.
That's one,
I mean,
one
that,
way
that, that
to tackle it.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, okay, like,
yeah,
maybe it like is. His experience is not normal, right? Like, I don't know who is funding him, you know, but like he posted a video a few days ago of like, you know, here I am dropping $800,000 on a horse. And I was like, okay, well, that's not a normal experience for someone like me, but I can see where that's really appealing to watch. So like, maybe it's not the most applicable thing, but like,
exactly.
It's been fascinating to watch how some people are like, oh, you know what? You do make racing look really cool. This is great. And then you still get kind of like the fuddy-duddy generation is like, this young man never picks up a broom. This young man. And, you know, and then you see videos of him like in the barn aisle feeding the horse. Like he's doing the thing.
You
know, so it's just, it is fascinating how quick we are to point
he's
a finger.
He's doing the thing.
and be like, oh, no. He's not, you know, heaven forbid the kid never pick up a pitchfork. And therefore he's not a real horseman. And therefore, you know, like his experience is crap. And it's just that kind of, that attitude is very,
but again, you know, like he comes from a completely different background and guess what? He, whether people like it or not, he's on the inside, you know, and he is with his following. You know, he didn't work his ass off for no reason to get to where he is.
Right.
But with the following and the work that he's done throughout however many years, he's now, you know, putting this enormous amount of light on an industry that is so cool and that is, you know, can be popular. And like, yeah, the big three races are popular, but what about Breeders' Cup? And what about like everything else? Like it's an everyday, it's 24/7, 365. I mean, you guys know it. It's horses, you know, they eat the grass, they poop. Somebody's got to pick it up. It doesn't stop. But you know, going back to Griffin, it's like that's what you want to see, you know, and that's the change.
I think that's indicative, though, of the industry's kind of just slow response to trends and to just like thinking about how to reach people. Like, you know, I like what you said before about, you know, like, yes, we definitely need to respect what you can learn from the generation that came before us. You know, like I've had great mentors from several generations back, you know, and I definitely respected and learned a lot from them, but also still want to put my own stamp on it to make sure that I'm relating, you know, to the times that we're in now. So I think there's definitely like a careful marriage, right, between being innovative for innovation's sake, but then also making sure you're still respecting and you know, picking up all the knowledge from that generation, but like it absolutely has to evolve. Like, yeah, the basics are going to stay the same, right? Horses need to be fed, horses need to be watered, they need to be exercised, but we're always learning about better ways to do all of that and then better ways to get that message out there. And I think that's where the industry from where I sit looks a little slow to adopt that kind of mindset.
And again, I think that it's good that it's happening now. Maybe it should have happened 10, 15 years ago, but without it happening now,
You're dead in the water.
You're dead in the water. If it doesn't happen now, I don't have a job in 25 years.
Right. You know? Yeah. I mean, I really think, like, unfortunately, like we're at that point, right? Like it's do or die time.
Yeah. It is. And you now see that people like are like, oh shit, like we got to do this now or never. You know, if we don't do it, you know, it's like, you know, I'm here like left speechless because, you know, it's overwhelming to like think about, I want to do this for my whole life, but what if I don't have a job? What if there is no thoroughbred racing? What if there are no tracks? You know, it's right. Weird to think about, but it is the reality that you have to think about. So,
and there's absolutely a trickle down. Like, you know, we do get a fair amount, and I just say we, like industry wide, of people who love their off track thoroughbreds who don't like horse racing because they perceive it, you know, and I think we're moving that needle. We're changing the perceptions. We're doing our best, you know, on multiple fronts. Like my day job's with the Retired Racehorse Project. Joy and I work hard on this podcast, you know, to bring in racing perspectives and, you know, just to show that it's a continuum of one horse going through all these chapters. And it's not, you know, oh, the evils of the racing industry and we've saved a lot. Like that is such an outdated mindset. We're not there anymore.
And if I can say something real quick, like we have five core values that we kind of go off of in our podcast, and it's respect for the horses, the people and the history that shaped the thoroughbred industry. Authenticity, you know, we believe in sharing real unfiltered stories that inspire, educate and connect, you know, everybody. And then, you know, we talked about it, growth. You know, we're passionate about nurturing the next generation of talent, but still being able to encourage and make sure people are learning and they're still curious, and the innovation that comes around that. And then the community, you know, we do value connection and collaboration, you know, just like we're doing now, bringing people together from all corners, you know, whether it's horses in general or with, you know, directly within the industry. And then our last one is responsibility. You guys do it every day, you know, the aftercare, you know, as a horseman and as somebody who works in the industry every day, you know, along with Tim and his understanding of, you know, how the horses get from the farm to the track, supporting thoroughbred aftercare and promoting sustainable and ethical future, not just for the sport, but for the horses and the industry as a whole. So I thought I'd just add that. And
yeah, I love that. Okay. I want to share a couple of stats, and I promise this is going somewhere. I'm reading this back from an article that I published in Blood Horse in April, 2025. Polled, this is just where I have the stats from, but we polled 2,600 past thoroughbred makeover trainers. So that's people who have gone through the Retired Racehorse Project's thoroughbred makeover retraining competition in the past 10 years. So from those 2,600 people, 77% responded that the first thoroughbred that they ever interacted with was an off-the-track thoroughbred. From that population, 64% indicated that they were interested in racing before that. And then 70% of that 36% that had never worked with a racehorse indicated that they were then interested in the sport as a result of working with the off-track horse.
Right.
So that's like a decent chunk of people that got introduced to racing via their OTTB. So interesting.
It's such a huge, like I'm squeezing my head right now, running my hands through my hair, because it's such a huge like part of everything that we do, like, people just see, again, like the three big races, like that's all they see.
Yeah.
Like what happens to this dang horse after it's done racing? Like I was watching the Derby this year and someone texted me and was like, so they just like race for the Derby and then they're like done or what happens? And I literally went on like a full blown like tangent and I was like, I wasn't like, I was being educational about it, but it was unfiltered.
Well, and it does always blow my mind because like, to me, like, okay, my day job, like my whole career is built on Thoroughbred Aftercare. So to me, I'm like, This is like a ready-made story with a bow on it. Right. For like NBC or whoever to mm-hmm. like, cause you have an entire day of Derby coverage.
Yep.
Or what really amounts to about 40 minutes of actual horse racing.
Yeah.
You know, give or take with the whole card. So you have all this time to fill and they do, you know, such beautiful human interest stories and they follow the trainers and the horses and the jockeys and all that. Yeah. And it's like, they could spend one of those segments looking at what these horses do after racing, but not put it in that, like, you know, like the Sarah McLachlan kind of sad background music. Like you really just like, they're just athletes that are going on to do something else. Like that's the message we're always trying to get across.
Yeah.
I find really interesting though, is that we have this population of people who are kind of like ready to become horse racing fans via the thoroughbreds after racing. And I don't know how to move them into your pipeline, right? Like these are people who are ready to be tapped that already have an interest in the horse. They have an understanding of where the horse goes after racing. And they're like ready to kind of be courted by the racing industry, you know, to be like the next generation of fans, bettors, owners, maybe like maybe they mm-hmm. want to transition to working in the industry. And I don't feel right now from that perspective that there's a lot of like, I don't know where to send people. Like, I don't feel like there's a big open door with a neon sign that's like, hey, thoroughbred fans, come here. It's like, oh, no, that's just the thing they do when they're done racing. We just send them to the girls and the girls teach them how to jump or whatever. It's kind of the vibe that I get, which I don't think is really that's not individuals in the industry, of course, don't think this, but I don't know how to help demonstrate to the racing industry that there's a big population of us here that are ready to support you if you're willing to also support us. Like we're all on the same side. We all love the horse. How do we all get in the same room and get together?
Wow.
It's a big one to wrap your mind around, right? Like, come on, Tanner, why don't you have an answer for me? You know, I don't know either. I don't know how to get us all on the same page, but I mean, that's what a solid third or so of our makeover participants were like participating in the makeover got me interested in horse racing.
Wow.
So how do we get them now? And I will say like, we have events planned. We're going to take them Keeneland is open.
No,
Keeneland has given us tickets. Like we have, an event with Amplify in the morning where the makeover trainers can go watch morning works. So like we're doing what we can with that population of people at the makeover. But then there's a bigger population of thoroughbred fans that are fans of the OTTB. How do we get them to the races?
I think you have to work in reverse. And I don't really know how you do that. But I've always looked at it as like everybody else. And now that you're like saying this perspective on it, I was always in the direction of, you know, the foal, the weanling, the yearling, the two-year-old onto the races and what happens after. And you guys are looking at it in the complete opposite direction.
Right.
Of it's an off the track, but what happened before? What happened on the track? You know, it's not what's happening on the track. What are they going to do after the track? So a very interesting perspective
And I don't know how much that message gets out into the racing world. Like 95% of those respondents indicated that they use Equibase every day to learn more about their off-track thoroughbreds. So like these people are navigating the same tools you're using, you know, like we've all done it. Joy's done it. I've done it. Like we've looked up each other's horses to be like, ooh, whose horse earned more, you know,
every day.
So is the OTTB community. Cause that's where the information lives. So it is really interesting because, yeah, we're all using the same tools. Like trainers come into town, a lot of them like to go to the stallion farms and like meet the sires of their horses, you know, which I don't know how much the stallion farms love being like, oh yeah, he was so slow. He's in the show hunters now. Like maybe you don't want to be told that, but like they're so excited to be there and see the farms and the stallions and meet all the horses. So it is, it's such a like a population that is like enthusiastic and ready to learn more. And we just have to figure out a way
about it.
We got to get them. We got to get them there.
That's going to be on my mind till it's done. I don't know how we're going to do it or what direction it's going to put people in, but I think there's a huge avenue for that. And I've never thought about that because I've never had this conversation. So,
maybe we're witnessing history. This is the beginning of a big idea. Kristen, Joy, and Tanner, we're going to put our heads together.
Holy smokes. I mean, yeah, there's gotta be a way. I mean, there's always a way. Like there wasn't a way before this podcast was a thing. And now we go to every single big track event in the country and shine lights on that and help people understand that there's so much more that goes into it than what you really see. So I think there's always a way, and I think there's definitely an avenue of opportunity, and you just got to figure out what it is.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, this is what I eat, sleep, and breathe at Retired Racehorse Project. And my day job is trying to figure out like, how do we bring all these industries together? Cause we really are more alike than we are different. And I think if we can just change this mindset, you know, and get the racing industry to embrace these equestrians, and the equestrians I in my mind are ready to embrace the racing industry. We just gotta get them all in the same room.
Yeah. And like, I guess in the thoroughbred industry, like money talks, you know? Mm-hmm. So like all the big people have all the money and all the nice horses and all the nice farms. And then there's that gap that's like a quite literally like a brick wall, unless you win the Derby or do something crazy, that separates the big from whatever's below them, whatever they perceive not being a big owner or a big racer or a big trainer as.
Yeah, and it is interesting because we've had horses from every single level have come to the makeover. I mean, we featured a horse on the podcast a couple weeks ago that had run in the Preakness and was now up for adoption from New Vocations. Wow. You know, and then like my two horses were just run of the mill claimers, you know, up at Fort Erie and Horseshoe Indianapolis. And Joy, I don't remember what your horse did.
She raced in Kentucky. She was not impressive though.
Right. So like, you know, most of us might just have kind of your sort of like work day horses, you know, like not your big stakes horses, but you know, we do see all kinds come through the makeover too. And, you know, and we get the support, like Claiborne obviously is a big sponsor of the Thoroughbred Makeover. And then they're also signed up this year for Makeover Champions, which is our side program to have the farms kind of show public support for, horses they're connected to. So it's really cool because that program draws all kinds. You know, you get like random breeders that were like, this is the one horse I bred that year. I'm so excited to see it. You know, so it is neat to sort of bring all parts together. So,
and I think that's a good thing that it is being done. Like that's,
yeah.
But like, how do we do more of it all the time? How do we do it every single day? And how, like, where's that outlet?
Well, and that's like, that's the goal of a nonprofit, right? Ideally is to put itself out of business. So we would love to get to the point where like my day job doesn't exist. Like, obviously I don't want to do this, but we as an organization would love to get to the point where like we've put ourselves out of business because the racing industry just embraces it. Like we don't have racing industry and aftercare and equestrian. It's just thoroughbreds going through life, right? Like,
wow.
So that's the goal in the end is like, we don't need an organization to help bridge that gap and market the industries to each other. Like we just sort of know where we're going. I don't know that we're quite ready to be there. Yeah, we've a fair amount of work to do, but
I know there's enough horses for it though.
there's plenty of horses coming down the road. So, but I mean, that's the other thing. We don't want to get put out of business because the racing industry goes under. We want to put ourselves out of business because we've sort of fixed this problem, so to speak. Okay, so let's end on like biggest takeaway we got from this conversation, and then we'll go around and also remind listeners where to catch each other's shows too and follow on social and all that. So,
okay.
Cause I've loved this. This is really fun. We could go on for hours and hours. I don't know if anybody would want to listen to this for hours and hours, but we would have a great time. So, yeah. My biggest takeaway is like, Tim's not here cause he's out doing the thing. Like we've all been there. Yeah. I have put in 18-hour days at the barn. Like you guys are doing that. Joy has done that. Like we're all on the same page and we're all making time to do this like side hustle to help do exactly what we're doing right now. Like get the word out, like connect people, expand this world, bring more people in. Like, I think this is what it, unfortunately, this is what it comes down to, right? It's like, we all have to like work a million hours to get this done, but like, it's because we're really passionate about it. So I think we have the passionate people in these industries that can help bring the next generation in and push these industries forward. So I found this very inspiring personally. How about you, Joy? Yeah.
I think for me, like just thinking through how do you keep this type of industry going? And I love, Kristen, that you mentioned earlier, like we have to evolve. What does that look like? I'm not sure. I always say like getting more young people involved, but the truth is it's like, it is millennials, it is Gen Z. And like, we're all adults at this point, you know, Gen Alpha necessarily coming up to the ranks, although we want to grab their attention too. But how do you continue to evolve the sport where you don't lose that tradition, but bring new perspective in and kind of progress it, if that makes sense? But I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, there's a position for everyone. There really is. And there's ways to be entrepreneurial in it, even if you don't have, you know, buku dollars to get involved. I mean, Kristen, you and I started this podcast, and while we're not actively involved in the racing industry itself, we're a media outlet that we're homegrown to promote their horses into second careers after racing. Tanner, you and Tim are putting together a great resource highlighting those career paths down the way. So there's ways to take your passions and turn it into something that becomes more without those typical racing jobs that we're all aware of, you know, exercise riders, jockeys, et cetera. So that's my big takeaway.
Yeah. And I think we're going to nail all three big major parts of this talk after I mention what I took away. You know, you guys had the beginning, the middle, and I think I'm going to hammer it on the head. Just, you know, helping you guys go out of business for the best way possible. You know, they're not separate. They're the racing aspect to the aftercare aspect is one whole thing. You know, you're not changing trains and going to another train station. You're staying on the same train and you're going, you know, all the way through. And you're getting to the end, and you know, from a foal to a 7-year-old off the track thoroughbred hunter jumper, what is that whole thing? And let's keep that line straight and not have to change stations and go around and do all these different things and try to make everything look the same, but it's all different. And I think there's so much to it, but if we can keep a straight line going right down the center and help people understand that, you know, that there is, yes, there's the gap right now, but what can we do and what opportunity and what avenue do we have to make it one straight line?
I love that. Yeah. Like one continuous journey for the horse. It's just, he happens to race first.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. Tanner, remind us where folks can find your show.
So we have, you know, all of our social media outlets are Next Gen Thoroughbred. Our Twitter and our TikTok are Next Gen T-Bred due to, you know, them not letting us use all of the characters we would want. but Facebook and Instagram are Next Gen Thoroughbred. And then our photography side of it is linked right to our Instagram, and our website is in our link tree, or you can find that at nextgenthoroughbredpodcast.com. And I would love to mention that we do have a current merch drop going. Every $5 you spend in our store gets you entered to win a full trip to Breeders' Cup with two Beach Club tickets, round trip airfare for you and a guest, and a 2-night hotel stay, all covered.
Whoa, all right.
Yeah. Thanks to Breeders' Cup for the tickets, Stable Recovery, our sponsor, and our Next Gen Thoroughbred LLC. But yeah, I had to mention that because that's
yeah.
the big thing.
Yeah,
going
I'm gonna
on
win
right
that
now,
for
so.
My arm. Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, Joy and I are gonna enter that one. Yeah.
For sure. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on there and it's doing well right now, but that's our big thing going on right now. We'll be at Breeders' Cup, and we're gonna give somebody and their friend or their parents or their cousin a trip of a lifetime, and that's all we would ever want to do.
Yeah, that's
just
awesome.
Just give the best of the best to somebody and let them experience and understand what a real race day is like, and at the highest level. And I think that's super cool, and we're super blessed to be put in this position and be able to do that. So
that's awesome. Well, Joy and I, we are at Retired Racehorse Radio. So if you're hearing this on the Next Gen side and are interested to learn more, you can find us. We are part of Horse Radio Network under Equine Network. So you can find us from the horseradionetwork.com website. You can find us on every major podcast player. And we are on Facebook and Instagram at Retired Racehorse Radio. So you can give us a follow there. Tanner, this was super cool. So thank you so much. This was a really fun collaboration, and we're going to have to do this again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I see a lot of opportunities and a lot of things to be done in the near future. And I think that, you know, staying on that straight line is going to do this industry a whole lot of good. And, you know, whatever we can do to help you guys, to feel free to ask, you know, we're all in on it. So whatever it takes, you know.
Love it. We will be in touch.
Absolutely.
Cashel has been crafting top-notch products since 1986, designed to make your ride safer, more convenient, and downright enjoyable. From the Crusader Fly Mask, the ultimate fly mask, trusted by riders nationwide, to the Blanket Top Performance Felt Pad with pressed felt with merino fleece, it's like a spa day for your horse's back, to the beautiful beaded halters, adjustable, durable, and gorgeous. Visit CashelCompany.com today and gear up for the ride of a lifetime. Cashel, where quality meets the saddle.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Cowgirls and Ridiculous Ranches, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit ridetvgo.tv to subscribe.
Well, Kristen, I know we normally have new vocations on with us, but for this episode, I thought it would be kind of fun for us to, one, always horse shop together, because I'm always curious who's going to pull but for who. Today it's my turn to pull for you. But also, we have our own tips and tricks to share sometimes that I think is worthwhile to share with our listeners. So with us going out of office for different reasons, how do you like to prepare your farm sitters to make sure your horses stay alive when we all know horses need to be wrapped in bubble wrap at all times?
Yeah. Well, the number one thing I do is just like try my hardest to just put trust and faith in the person that is feeding for me. Still. Because if I let myself like spiral into a total hover mom, like I will not enjoy or focus on the trip that I'm on, mm-hmm. you know, because like otherwise you'll just be up all night being like, oh my God, what is happening? Why haven't they texted today? So some of it is just like, you've got to just shut that part of your brain off and be like, it is fine. Because yes, as much as they try to maim themselves and, you know, fling themselves off of cliffs and whatever else horses do when you're not looking or are looking, like most of the time they actually are fine. Mm-hmm. And so I just have to like suspend that part of my worrying brain and be like, it is fine. It's going to be fine. I have lived through like the worst case scenario where like we had a senior Belgian part of my driving team, and he did actually happen to pass while I was at the makeover 1 year, but it was his time and it was not like through fault of my farm sitters. I just felt really bad that they had to deal with it. And you know what? Like that really sucked, but it was okay. And like we all moved on. So I was like, okay, that the worst has happened. It is awful, but it is also, it's okay. So hear it from me, someone who has gone through that. on a less bleak
as
note,
as it is, it's important to mention like
it happens.
Life just happens sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. And like old horses, I collect a lot of old horses. So you just sort of are ready for them to part at any moment. So it was sad. I went behind the Jumbotron. I cried for 5 minutes and then I put my face back on and went back to work because it was the makeover and I didn't have any options. All right. That aside, I like to write everything down. And sometimes depending on who it is that's doing the feeding for me, like my mom prefers to write things down in her own version of shorthand, which is fine. So I just trust that she has written it down in a way that makes sense to her, even if I look at it and I'm like, I don't get this, but whatever. If it's Eric, like Eric at this point has like fed the horses enough. He knows how to do it without writing any of it down. And then other than that, it's usually in the winter that I need to find like a third party horse sitter if we're away. And then what I do is I make sure that I have them come out to the farm first, you know, to look at everything, meet the horses, kind of like put their eyes on them and see like, this is the horse's normal. Like, you know, Jobber has his mystery winter fat leg that comes and goes. So I'm like, if it looks like this, it's fine. If it's like the size of a tree trunk, that's not fine. You know, but like, I understand that this leg doesn't look normal to you right now, but this is his normal.
Noting the quirks. It's so important. Yes.
You know, and you can't solve for everything, right? Like I can't tell you like every weird thing Shorty does, because that would just bog people down for days, you know? So like some of it is like, okay, you just have to also, again, go back to faith and trust and assume that like the person knows horses well enough to be like, that's just a horse being weird and not like, oh, that horse is sick. So, you know, choose your horse sitter wisely. And then other than that, I try to make everything as turkey as possible. So like if one of my grain cans is getting low, I'll make sure that I top that one off and rotate the old grain to the top, you know, cause I don't want my horse sitter that is already driving there from who knows where to do my chores in the winter or whatever. Like I don't need them also wrestling with a 50-pound sack of feed. Like I will set that up for them ahead of time. So I try to make it as easy for that person as possible, so they don't have to do anything extra. And then that way I have the faith that they are putting all of their attention just on the horses in front of them and not also trying to figure out like, where does she store her extra grain? Where is her hay kept? You know, like the stack of hay is there, like everything is just ready to go and turned over.
I love it.
How about you?
I'm pretty similar. So, I mean, it's different because I'm at a boarding barn currently. When I definitely had horses at home, a lot of the same steps you did, especially with all the feed, is hay set up? Did I check like that waters are working before leaving and food is all if they're not? I like to have that emergency contact list too, like which vet, which farrier, who also they can call who might know the horses, like my trainers or like support from the local barns that I used to have connections at. I would always have that list on hand of who knows these horses too, if for some reason
that's a good one
to get a hold of me, because I wasn't married when the horses were at home. But now that I'm in a boarding barn, I'm very fortunate to have very good barn friends, which makes all of the difference. We have a group chat where not only do we just check in on each other's horses, we send cute photos to each other when someone hasn't been out for a while or on vacation. We give each other's horses snacks and make sure they, you know, don't have burrs in their hairs. They're very spoiled in their herd. So that's where that trust really builds, you know, having those people you can count on and know they will give you updates, which is super appreciated. The other thing I try to really do, especially as we're hitting in between seasons, I probably won't be at the barn for about 6 weeks at the earliest, just given my recovery, likely be in my cards. So having like blankets set up, knowing Michigan weather, she probably is only going to need a sheet and a liner, given that time frame. And my horse is chunky. She doesn't need a medium weight anytime soon. So I'll make sure there is at least two sheets that I know are been waterproofed, clean, ready to go, So if they need to change one out, they can. My horse is a pansy when it comes to weather changes. She does not like to be wet or cold.
I mean, me neither. So fair.
Yes. She does have a shelter, but, and she'll stay in it the entire time, but she will shiver once it gets below 40. So got to make sure she's taken care of. So I'll have those two so they can rotate them out depending on weather. And I'll make sure her liner is in there too. Currently she's not on supplements, but when we had supplements going, I would always make sure those were set and easy to find. Her first aid kit, while we have a barn first aid kit, there are products that I really like for her that work well, that I know work well. So like cuts and scrapes, I have like I like blue lotion by Absorbine. We're not sponsored. I'm just saying it's one of the ones I like. If she has, you know, any rain rot or funguses growing, because again, we're hitting wet weather where her legs are going through those grasses. You know, I like to have that stuff on hand of what products I really like, so it's easy for them. And then I'm kind of weird where I get all of my scheduled appointments up front. So I know fall vaccines are coming. I will not be able to make it. So my vet has my credit card on file and I set an amount of how much they can charge. So if anything weird comes up, it has to be approved by me first. But I know that someone else can hold her through those shots and take care of it. Same thing with my farrier. He just sends me my invoice via email. I'm giving him permission just to charge it for her trims. And if anything weird comes up, just give me a call.
So I love that. Don't have to worry then about, someone like messing around with a check or trying to get reimbursed by you or super nice.
I love technology today. So taking full advantage of where I can make things super easy for everyone else. And again, having those emergency contacts. So Zach being my husband, they can reach out to him. Our barn manager is one of my closest friends, so they can call her. Lots of good things on staff as needed. And my only hope is we don't have to emergency trailer her, but luckily there are great people on staff who can help get her in said trailer should we have to.
That's awesome. We could spin this off into a whole episode because we could get into do you have, end of life planning for your horses? End of their life, but also we did this before we went to Wyoming because we were like, this is a potentially kind of dangerous trip. So we wrote down in the event we don't come back, here's where to send our horses, but that's scope for an entire episode on how to do that. So we don't need to get into that now, but it's worthwhile. If you're going on a long trip or something, it's just something to think about, folks.
Yes. So good tips to have, especially again, in between seasons, unless you're fortunate enough to live in Southern California, where it doesn't really change that often. Maybe I'm being naive. Have your plans in check, and people are more willing to help out the easier you make it for them too.
Right.
Yes. Well, speaking of helping out, I'm going to help you by not helping you, by showing you a horse that I think you would like to take home.
Great. That's so helpful, Joy.
You're welcome. It's my gift to you. So the horse that I'm looking at for you is Regular Army. And I'll tell you why I thought this would be a good horse for you. One, knowing what you like to do with your horses and that Western ranch work space primarily, I wanted to find a horse that had a shorter back, really nice hind end, and not too tall, but tall enough for you because we are both tall horse girls. Regular Army seemed to fit that. But he also needed to have good movement, though. I wasn't looking for a super slow, Western pleasure-y type. Something that was still able to move and pivot comfortably, knowing how, for my one weekend getting to move cows with you, how they move.
You know the drill, though. Yeah.
It was surprisingly awesome. Very helpful to have a dressage background is what I'm going to say when doing that.
It's really all the same, just different tech.
Yeah, it really was. It's great to be able to just pivot and move the horse as needed. But knowing that too, not a horse that's super stiff was definitely an ideal. So Regular Army seemed to fit the bill. He is a 2021 15-3 hand gelding. Dark bay, which does fit into your color scheme currently, although I know color is not an issue for you. He did not do very well on the track. He was kind of slow, but that's okay. doesn't seem he's more like very competitive according to New Vocations on that. However, he has a great physical capability of a level 3 because he retired sound with no injuries, which is awesome. He enjoys groundwork and values trusting relationships. So to me, that's kind of screams Western as well, based on what you do. It's a real partnership and a lot of communication between you and the horse. And watching his videos, he has such a cute canter and lovely forward trot that's not so forward that it would be fast and difficult to ride, but just forward enough that he could keep up with the paces of the cows you have. So I thought he would be a nice little fit for you and your herd.
I love him. I am watching his video right now and he is just kind of loping around. What I'm learning is that the Ocala branch gets all the horses I want. So I think I need to
give Aaron McDonald
a call. Yeah, and be like, hey, can you set aside a couple for me so I can come and shop? But yeah, this guy just kind of lopes around their big grass outdoor. I do like his nice jog. I also really like his walk. We didn't really talk about his walk much. You know, he's not plodding along, but he's not rushing. He just is walking on the buckle. Yeah, I think he's adjustable. Yeah. And adjustable is always good because, like, Wes, for example, is not that adjustable and he actually overtakes the cows all the time. So you need a horse that will really kind of sit back and let you ride him. And I get the vibe that this horse would do that. So nice little guy.
He is described as someone who's straightforward under saddle. He steers, stops, and has 3 comfortable gaits and willingly picks up canter on both leads. So that's a nice thing to have.
I like this line. Reggie is overall quiet and mannerly, but there are pieces of him that are a little more complex. That sounds like Jobber.
Honestly,
Jobber is quiet and mannerly, but is also complex. So, you know, like a fine wine. It's all good. I like this guy. All right. If you are looking for a handy little pocket pony, this guy, 15'3", perfect height. He is up for adoption for $2,500 from the Ocala facility. So give our friend Aaron McDonald a call if you are looking for a little guy like regular Army. He is at newvocations.org or horseadoption.com, up for adoption now. Joy, I had a lovely time today. Talking with Tanner was great. That was like kind of a reinvigorating, re-inspiring conversation to kind of like fill my cup up before the makeover and remind me that, like, I'm doing the work. We're doing the thing. You know, I'm making a difference in thoroughbreds. So that was a helpful conversation to have. Well-timed. This is going to come out end of September, so it's the perfect time for everybody else to listen to that and get inspired, I hope. So, Joy, I just want to wish you the happiest of maternity leaves. We'll be thinking of you. I'll miss you while you're gone, but I'll look forward to having you back.
You'll still get all the baby spam and crazy and probably some sort of complaint about my husband. So
perfect. I'm here for you. Sorry, Zach. You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and Ride TV, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network at horseradionetwork.com, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride
and cow side leg.
Bye, guys.